It's time for the Librarians After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. We have three whole episodes to discuss from Season 4, Episode 5, Episode 6, Episode 7. Stick around!
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
Hello and welcome to the Librarians After Show!
It's so weird to hear Doctor Who, but it fits so well!
It is very confusing. I'm Yael Teagle. If you haven't already, go to YouTube.com and find the AfterBuzz Sci-Fi Fantasy and Superheroes, I remembered.
Yay!
That channel, subscribe there. That's where you can find us. Also, we're on iTunes and SoundCloud. Subscribe there. Those have not changed. I'm really excited that we have the Doctor Who theme going on, but I'm more excited that my co-host Alexis is back!
I'm back, people! And I'm so excited to talk about this mondo amount of episodes that we need to talk about. Well, episodes. But hi, guys. If you don't know me, I'm Alexis Torres. You guys
That's
can
Alexis
find me.
Torres.
That's me, right here. You guys can find me all over social media at atorres890.
Yay!
I'm so excited! I also have a lot of questions! Also, Jenkins!
Calm yourself.
Sorry.
We are discussing The Librarian Season 4, Episode 5, and The Bleeding Crown, followed by Season 4, Episode 6, and The Grave of Time, followed by Season 4, Episode 7, and The Disenchanted Forest.
Ooh.
This is The Librarian's After Show. Sit down. Settle in.
Do it.
Okay.
Do it.
We're starting with And the Bleeding Crown, which was written by Tom McRae, who is a Doctor Who writer.
Yeah, no. At first when I was watching this, I'm like, this isn't The Librarians. I'm watching a Doctor Who episode. It's just brand new.
It was amazing. We also got two guest stars. We got Charles Howard, who, if you watched the Musketeers After Show here on AfterBuzz TV, I did that season one.
Wow.
With Peter Capaldi, a.k.a. the most recent Doctor.
Yes.
We'll miss him. So, yeah, Charles Howard. I also got to meet him. He's very nice. And Samuel Raukin, I don't know how to say it. Sorry, as Darrington Dare.
Oh, man. I was like, hello, who are you? I need to know more about you. He's just very light on the eyes. And I was like, ooh, okay.
He felt like the Doctor.
Yeah, like as soon as he like came in, chest abroad and ready to go, I was like, okay.
If you're not a Doctor Who fan, well, first of all, shame on you. But second of all, I'm kidding. Might I suggest starting with season one, episode one, named Rose, 2005. You're welcome. Enjoy.
That's the one thing I love about... No, it's not the one thing I love about you, but there's a lot of things. It's one of the things I love about you is that you don't tell people to watch Blink first.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that.
No,
later.
We don't. It's a wrong after
we
show.
We don't have time.
But you know what I mean.
All right, so, and the Bleeding Crown, we start everyone's old. That was fun seeing old people act like children.
That was amazing. As soon as he woke up, and I was like, oh yeah, he looks like a grown ass person. So this is gonna be interesting. And then the fact that, because I thought it was just the children who were gonna be old. So when he went down to see his parents,
and they were even old,
I was like, what's happening here? What have you done?
I liked when we got to talk to his father, and his father was like, I'm really good at 45. I was like, this guy's supposed to be.
Yeah, it was a very dad thing to say. He's like, I just got good at doing 45. I don't want to be in my 60s or 80s or wherever I'm at right now.
I love the scared baby.
That was too much.
That
I was like,
so good.
Somebody go get their pop, because he's like running off with his diaper. Get him. Go get him.
I really like this whole old town. It's very fun.
Yeah.
And we get this great adventure where Ambrose Gethic. I had to look that up because they may have said it, but I did not catch what it was.
No, I heard Ambrose. That was as far as my brain would let me.
Ambrose Gethic.
Yeah. It sounds like a disease.
I suffer from Ambrose Gethic.
It's terminal.
It sounds like you don't have a lisp and then you do. Ambrose Gethic. Gethic? Are you saying Gethic? Yeah, so he... thank you. I have a little bit of the Gethic. So he's trying to clone himself. He makes melty people. That's what I'm calling them.
I mean, there's no other word for them.
Yeah, they're melty people.
But I like that the fact that he was our doctor, our librarian, is like, oh, he made those copies. He made those replicas. And everyone's like, clones. And he's like, yes. I was like, great, you didn't know what the word clone was? Okay, fine.
It felt like such a doctor thing.
It did.
Actually, when the episode first started and we met him, I was watching this with my roommate, who you all may remember from this after show. Tari. He was like, oh, it's the episode of the doctor. And I was like, yeah, it is like that one. The one with the doctor.
The one with the doctor, yes.
The doctor who then turns out to be the guy from Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Great.
I like that.
You followed my train of thought there.
I knew what you were trying to do there.
Yeah. Just to point out how nerdy the creators of the show is, or at least how nerdy Tom McRae is, we had time travel, we were searching for a screwdriver, we had a sonic device, Baird's hero is Ripley, we had a lightsaber. Yeah.
I was happy. My nerdy heart exploded.
It was so great. And then we figure out when we find this one family that's still young because they're too poor to have electricity.
It was one of those, like, oh, like, I had mixed feelings about it, but I was also like, okay, good for you.
Yeah.
But I love how they had, like, a Sherlock moment where they were picking up on all little things of, like, when they both did the leg cross and the finger on the chin. I was like, okay, where are we going with this?
I loved it. Oh, I love seeing, because this reminds me of, like, Flynn in the movies where he's goofy and Doctor-esque, and I guess season one Flynn. And so seeing him with Darrington, who he fangirled. So like that fun playfulness was really great.
It was jarring to me because the fact that for work, we're airing ER episodes right now. So I have to caption that. So I'm watching seasons of him being like, so him being serious and him like, you know, get me the thing stat and like. Doing one of these. And so seeing him, like, freaking out and, like, squeeing everywhere, I was like, okay. I'm very confused. But it was really cool to see that side of him since we haven't seen it in so long.
Yeah, I love that whole idea. And then our librarians are magically old, but they're not old, they're clones.
Can we talk about Baird's old person, like, outfit with the little, like, workout sweatpants and a little headband and her hair is, like, up here and she's just like, I need to sit. These chairs they're not soft. It's too cold. It's too hot. It's beautiful.
I liked them all old.
I wanted more of that.
I'll say... Not to be nitpicky.
Uh-oh.
Bung a nitpick.
Oh, yeah. I mean, come on.
Their hands. You didn't do prosthetics or makeup on their hands.
They were probably thinking, we're never going to close up on their hands, but there were moments where they were moving their hands. You see their hands and you're like,
you go, wait. That hand's real young.
Because, I mean, at least with the old people in the...
They're old.
Yeah. Like, well, they're also actors, you know, that didn't have, you know, that had...
Prosthetics.
Yeah.
Makeup.
Yeah.
They were just old people.
Yeah, they were just beautiful old people, but because we had to make ours... Yeah, I feel like they could have added, like, or something.
Just like age spots.
Yeah, just little liver spots right there on the hands. It was really quick, but give them long sleeves. I don't know.
Give them gloves.
Yeah, something. I'm with you on that. That was weird. Yeah.
It just took me out a second. I went, no, but I did not see them coming, that it wasn't them.
No, that took me by surprise.
I love when I'm surprised.
Yeah, that was really cool.
So they've been taken. They're powering the crown, and the solution, which I think is so great, is Jenkins is immortal, so he'll suffer.
Yeah, and I was like, okay, just put my poor Jenkins in there, it's fine, I guess.
Yeah, he's gonna keep living, but he's still gonna feel pain.
And I love it because John Lithgow's just sitting there just like,
who? John Larroquette.
Oh my god, no, sorry.
Did you say John Lithgow?
Because I was watching a lot of his movies.
Were you watching Pitch Perfect 3?
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. I just came back from the theater, that's why. But like, yes, John Larroquette's just sitting in said chamber pod, whatever. He's just like...
Chamber pod? Where are your words today?
Pod. I said pod.
Oh, pod.
Yeah, not pot. I know what you think. No, chamber pod.
Yes.
Tube thing.
Yeah.
And he's just sitting there kind of just looking around. I was like, are you not feeling anything? Are you just that old? Yeah. Like, what's happening?
I'm just powerful.
I'm just hanging out.
So it was kind of like a, it's not because, you know, my friends aren't my downfall. They're my strength. That was the message.
And I was like, great. Don't do things alone. Good to have support.
Well, so we had this whole... you know, entire episode with Darrington telling him there can only be one librarian. This has happened before, and we had this issue. And I was like, this feels like it kind of goes into the trusting of the institution thing that we've been talking about. It's planting these seeds for the season. What did you think about Darrington's threats? Not threats, warnings.
Yeah, yeah, correct. It was, well, I mean, it was kind of threatening in the beginning. He's like, you're going to do it. I was like, okay, ease up.
And then his letter in the end was also kind of like, do it.
I mean, thank you for telling me that I needed friends and it made me live another, like, 50 years, but also do it. Like, I was like, okay. I think it's great because I've always wanted to know how the library was going to handle having four librarians. Mm-hmm. That's tough. But I loved the story about the twins. I thought that was so cool. Mm-hmm. To add that in there. I think that the library is not going to betray them in this aspect. There had to be a reason why they picked all of them. Maybe there's a greater purpose for them, but mm-hmm. we just don't know yet. I'll get into my theories at the very end of the episode if you want. But yeah, I think that because he's used to the library back then, I feel like it's not going to, it's tweaked in some way.
I feel like my thought was what I wanted Flynn to say back to him was like, we've already established mm-hmm. that these three librarians complement each other perfectly.
Yeah, they're like that one person.
They have different skill sets, and that's why they work well together.
Yep.
Is without one, you can't do it. We like establish this for seasons.
I'm like, we already know.
Three seasons establish this. And I wanted him to say that to him, but he didn't.
I mean, I also wanted Jenkins to say it. You know, I wanted him to be like, I know there's a reason why I didn't tell him because we've already done this. I already know there's a reason. I'm mm-hmm. not just keeping information to keep information a little bit.
Yeah.
You know?
And yet, that takes us to our next episode. Before we move to End the Grave of Time, do you have anything you would like to add to End the Bleeding Crown?
That crown was pretty awesome.
Yes.
I love that he just pretty much just exploded. As like a, or at least the crown exploded and everything. But yeah, I like the episode, and I'm hoping, I don't think we're going to be able to see past librarians now, you know, because he had a specific reason of why he came back, mm-hmm. but I would like to know more history about the other librarians who've lived before him.
I really loved this time travel aspect that the librarians traveled in time.
Yeah.
Because Nicole kind of traveled in
she
time.
She did.
Darrington traveled in time. Mm-hmm. And as we may recall from previous seasons, so did Flynn.
Yeah.
I want think it. More time travel.
Yeah, I want it. I know that I don't know how they, I mean, I know the writers probably don't care that they want to put more Doctor Who-ish type of episodes, yes. But I think it's cool. I think it'd be awesome to throw that in there. Just here and there.
Yep. I agree. Also, I don't know if I said Charles Howard or Howard Charles, but the man has two first names. So his name is Howard Charles.
Oh, okay. I think you said Howard Charles.
Good.
Yeah.
Ambrose Gethick. All right. Before I move on, I want to take a moment to thank everyone. We have too much to cover, so I'm not going to read any reviews that we may have. But go to iTunes, subscribe. That way you don't miss a single episode. Rate and review if you like us 5 stars. If you don't like us 4 stars, because the other stars, they do not work.
Yeah.
Yep, that's what I'm saying. We're moving on.
Okay.
All right. Next episode.
Let's do it.
Okay. So Rachel Nichols returns as Nicole Noon.
Yeah, I was confused when I saw her grave. I was like, what's happening? I don't understand.
Well, I assumed that there was a grave because Flynn thought she died.
Right.
So I assumed that was the grave that, like, he
but
made.
But the picture looked much older, so right. I was very confused.
So here's, she, like, explains that she had to keep dying so that people didn't get confused. Then change your name.
Yeah, I don't understand why she kept her name for 500 years.
Right.
Change it up. Like,
people are going to be like, wow, that's so weird that there's, in this time period, there's a Nicole. And in this time, there's Nicole. Also, and they look exactly the same.
I was like, this is time travel 101. Like, yeah, if you're going to be bouncing from time era to time era, change your name.
Right. Thank you.
Oh my god, it was so frustrating. I was so upset.
But I love that even Nicole Adventure, and I don't care what anyone says, I ship them.
Oh yeah, hard.
I ship them
when they
so
were fighting.
Good.
I was like, oh, this can get real dirty. Real
there was
quick.
One moment where they're face to face. I'm sure I shouted, "Make out!"
Yeah, I was like, "Now keys," like pushing like their imaginary heads together. I was like, "Now keys." Yeah, no, I ship that hardcore. I want it.
I'm glad.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Please. Especially because, like, at first, like, that tight bun and that braid, I was like, you know you guys are meant to be. You guys can do each other's hair.
I don't know what hair has to do with anything, but I love it.
Just because of the fact that they're both fighters and kind of military grade that they kind of keep the same.
Mm-hmm.
You
absolutely.
Know. I was like, you guys can just do each other's hair. You know, it's okay. Sorry, iTunes listeners.
I'm all about it.
Anyway. anyway, continuing.
Most of my notes are about them and my mm-hmm. fanfic already yep. started.
Yeah.
So let me skip through that. Anyway,
post it on my Tumblr. Yeah, we're looking.
So Eve gets to look through Nicole's lifetime and get to know her better. Cool. I know that they're not a couple, but I really like them as a friendship.
Yes. I'll take that ship.
This. I don't.
Yeah. I know, but like it's hard to say it, but I can deal with that.
Okay.
That's all they can give me. But I like that we got to see that she had family, she had friends, lovers, kids. I was like, wow. Wow.
Yeah. So where are
her children?
She has relatives is what we're saying in the current time. And I'm pretty sure, again, with the name, they're going to
nobody noticed?
Right, like they're Ancestry. Not on Facebook, you know? 23andMe, I got you.
Yeah, I was like, someone's going to be like, I want to see what my aunt said. Wow.
It's so weird that she looks like her and she looks like her. And that's odd.
They're all named Nicole. Did she have like a bunch of quadruplets?
Yeah, and they just continue to pass the name?
Yeah. I don't know.
Anywho's. So we're looking for the needle, Kochi's needle. And we get Rasputin, who I don't know what you know about Rasputin, but all I know about Rasputin
is from the animated Anastasia movie.
Yep, that is correct.
And that musical. Oh, I need to see it. I'm so excited.
Yeah, there's a rumor in St. Petersburg.
Yeah, I can hear the song playing in the background. I was like, I just really want him to have a bat named Bartok, and I'd be the happiest person right now.
So she's trying to find the needle because she wants to kill Rasputin. This needle will kill an immortal. Jenkins, of course, has a panic attack.
I totally had a different ending for this. I thought that she was going to kill herself.
Thank you.
I was waiting for that because she kept going, no, it's not what you think. I'm telling the truth. I needed to kill an immortal, just not you. And I'm like, it's probably going to be her. No. She died anyway.
Right. I was totally, I totally believed that it was going to be, we're real dark people. We were like, it's going to be suicide because we see how hard it was for her.
Yeah.
And then we have this whole storyline where Eve is now going, if I'm tethered, this is what that means, is I'm going to see loved ones come and go.
But, I mean, as much as it's very dark, especially what's going on right now, I feel like that it's something to talk about, because I was thinking that if Eve found out why, she would try to talk her out of it as mm-hmm. much as she could.
And even then though they'd become lovers.
Yeah, I mean, that's how my fanfiction works. But, yeah, I wanted to see that, because I feel like a lot of the times we don't get stuff like that in media as much anymore. Mm-hmm. And even though she just met her, it would have been nice to be like, I understand where you're coming from. You showed me a whole different side. I want to talk to you and we can figure out something. You don't have to go back to the library, but we got to do something else.
Absolutely. Yeah. But then she gets stabbed.
Oh, I was not expecting that.
I was not expecting that. I was not expecting the solution.
Yeah, see, this is where I'm upset.
So before we get to that, we have this great moment where Flynn and Jenkins are going to the cemetery and Jenkins has to pretend that he's sick. And watching it upon second viewing, now that I know how it ends, I was like, it was foreshadowing!
Yeah, I think that was exactly what it was. And I was like,
So Jenkins gives her his immortality, which, y'all, I'm sorry.
Y'all, I'm upset.
Here's my question. This was a solution that we had, and we didn't think to do this for Cassandra and the Brain Grape? Shows how much he cares about her.
I mean, we saw that. We kind of saw that. Just a little bit. I don't remember what season it was.
Kissed?
Yes. It was like
one of
those.
I believe
it
was
like,
last.
Was it last season? Okay. I feel like the seasons are so far apart. Yeah, I was so surprised that Jenkins was like, I'm going to give up the most important thing.
Well, because he felt guilty about not believing her, which, to be fair, like, the institution taught him not to believe her.
No, correct. And it's rough. But I also hope that this will maybe bring out a more vulnerable side of Jenkins as well. Like, I'm in a weird spot because I'm upset that he had to lose his immortality for that. But I'm also happy that Nicole is still around, so that's kind of great. And then now we have a mortal Jenkins. Like, that's huge.
Yeah. I think that concerns me. But the idea that she was like not happy being immortal.
Yeah.
And the solution to save her was
to be immortal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, We should have gone with the suicide story.
Yeah, I think it would have been more moving, and it would have showed that she's like, I've lived a long time. I think it's time for me to make my own decision here and have control of my own life and do that kind of stuff. Again, you know, suicide is a very dark topic, but at that same moment, it would have made sense for her character.
Yes.
I also think that they should have let... don't hate me. I think they should have let her die.
I would have been so sad, but it would have been really powerful.
And yeah.
Jenkins would have had to, like, then live with the guilt.
And I think that would have been great for his character to deal with that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And then have, you know, oh my God. I keep wanting to call him the doctor. Clearly that's not what it is. Flynn! I want him.
The librarian?
The librarian. The Similar. Librarian. The only librarian. I wanted Flynn to kind of, like, see that and, you know, not be completely brooding, but have that whole kind of dark ambiance between him and Jenkins and being like, see, she was going through something, you didn't believe her, and, like, kind of go through that just a little bit, not a lot.
I agree. I think it's interesting that this is the solution, especially now. I go, well, could she give it back?
Like, I would assume so.
Right? Like,
because if he can do it, then she should be able to do it. I don't know if she will. I mean, I'm hoping.
If she gives it back, doesn't she just become mortal and not injured because we've already healed the injury now?
Yeah, she should be just a normal human.
Just magic questions. Silly us with our magic questions.
I mean, it is the library. We don't really know. It's very unpredictable.
she'll come back as a different actress.
Yes, there it is. She'll come back as another actress.
Super confusing. So Nicole leaves, and Flynn retires at the end of the episode.
That was crazy.
Which will take us to the next episode in a minute. I also think it was interesting that Cassandra was taking over Jenkins' duties.
But I feel like she's always wanted to do that, though.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
So she was running the door and giving the tea.
Do you think that's foreshadowing?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Well, so I think that there is something, something about that. And I think that Nicole leaving and then Flynn leaving, not with Nicole.
Yeah, which I thought was interesting.
It takes us somewhere interesting. Because we leave, you know, if he's gone, what does this mean for the tethering ceremony?
Yep.
And I have a theory.
Ooh.
Which I will save for predictions.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
At some point. Yeah. I'll make a note. Prediction. Yep. Okay. Next episode.
Yay.
4-7 and the Disenchanted Forest, which was directed by Dean Devlin.
I know. Yay. Dean Devlin.
Yeah, look at these notes I got. So Flynn's gone. Flynn is gone.
Mm-hmm.
We have
a very discouraged Baird, but trying to the usual Baird. Push her feelings all the way down.
But she also tells them about the idea of one librarian. She, like, now reveals to them this whole thing.
Yeah, which is crazy because in the beginning of the season, they were talking about, like, we never get to see family, we never get to take breaks, you know, like, when do we have a personal life? And I was like, ooh, interesting.
Yeah, and then they have a discussion of who should be the librarian, which, again, I'd like to remind them.
You cannot do this. You're one person.
Yeah, you
you can't separate.
We've already established that you guys are not good separate.
Yeah, no, I want them to, like, my prediction is I want them to tether together. Yeah.
Interesting.
I don't know if you can do that, but that'd be nice.
All right. Well, so who should be the librarian becomes the question. And then, so in this episode of The Forest, we have this weird conversation, or this weird thing that happens that somebody pointed out in a review that I read about how Stone seems to be, like, charmed or under a love spell. Cassandra's kind of childlike, and Ezekiel's the studious one. And this, like, I understand the Stone one, sure, he fell in love, and Cassandra, I understand because she doesn't know what she's doing. But Ezekiel's studiousness, that one's out of place.
I feel like most of the season here, I feel like Ezekiel's been kind of bringing out personalities that I was, like, not ready for. Not in a bad way, but, like, the fact that seeing him, we've seen him scared before, but having, like, his mom in an episode, that was all kinds of emotional things I was not ready to see from him. You know what I mean? But at the same time, seeing him where he's like, guys, we need to really get on top. I was like, who are you? You're usually not the responsible one. You usually just don't care.
So you think that it's not that something's going on with them, but that he is just maturing.
I think so, because like I said, that episode was huge. We can't ignore that and be like, okay, we're going to have this huge maturing episode, and then we're going to revolt back to that. I was like, no, I need you to grow. Like, that's what I want. I feel like we all got to see parts of them where they are kind of growing. She's understanding that, you know, she was worried about her mortality and with her, with the grape. And then we have Stone, who was thinking about personal stuff because he saw his friend in that last episode. Now he's kind of falling in love, but also found that understanding at the end of the episode where he's like, oh, I can't be with you. Mm. So I feel like we're just getting those itty bitty points now.
So you think that was growth and not something else?
Mm-mm. I didn't think it had anything to do with the ley lines. I think it's just our characters hitting the next notch and then going from there.
All right. So before we get into the camp and everything, I wanted to make a quick mention that Jenkins has man flu.
Oh, his lines. So good.
I really wanted someone to call it out as man flu. Because, I don't know if anyone has seen this brilliant sketch. Google it. I believe it's called man flu.
I believe so. I know exactly what you're talking about.
It's hilarious. And so I think that's what he has. And I loved it. And I really want someone to be like, ugh, man flu.
Yeah. I just love it. He's like, oh, can we talk about poop? I was like, oh, no. Continue. Get out.
So good. All right. So we go to camp. Yay.
Oh, man. Cassandra was all over the place. I was so happy for her, but I was also getting really annoyed with her.
Have you ever been to sleepaway camp?
Yes, I have.
And was it anything like Cassandra's camp?
Nope.
See, mine was.
Okay, that's good. I think it was, I've been to two different types of camps. I've been to an all-girl camp. That was horrible. I mean, maybe not for me, but for them, for sure. And I went to a camp in Glendale, and it was just a bunch of rich, snooty kids, and I hated it. Okay. So maybe it's because I've had bad experiences at camp.
Maybe. I went to a camp that was very similar to...
this camp?
No, very similar to Wet Hot American Summer. Odd.
How old were you?
I was young through... sixth grade.
Okay, that's not... Okay.
Yeah, no, I wasn't one of the teenagers.
Yeah, see, I went when I was, elementary, and then I went as a teenager, and I was like, I hate both of these things.
But so, anyway, so we go to camp, and she's all about the pranks, and I was thinking about it and how, this is so funny and great. I don't do well with pranks. Anyone who knows me knows this. Mm-hmm. I do not take them well.
I'm also the same.
I take them worse than Ezekiel does. I would have not spoken with her the rest of the time after the first one. Yeah. I would have thrown such a fit. I do not do well with pranks.
Yeah. No. I'm actually just as patient as Ezekiel, but I would have snapped just like he did in this episode. I would have been like, we're dead.
But I like that he points out to her that she really doesn't know what the world is. Mm-mm. All she knows is what she's seen in movies.
Yeah.
I get that.
No, I mean, that's how it is.
Some of us live through TV and movies and don't understand
them. If I had more hands.
Yes. So we go to this team building. We have guest star TJ Ramini, who... I believe has an English accent in real life.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was like, something's off.
I was like, I know this man, and that's not how he sounds. but we're at Bender Team Building Camp, and Dosa is there. So when that group ran up.
Yeah, I was like, why are there just a bunch of men in suitcases and suits?
Yeah.
No.
I was like, Dosa.
I was like, you're either Dosa or you guys are some other military that you guys are just, or accountants that are just awful.
Yeah, I was like, either they're weird accountants. But as soon as she, they were, doing stuff, I went, Dosa.
Yeah, immediately. When they were in that field, I was like, oh, that's Dosa.
Yep.
I don't know how we haven't gotten to this point yet, but yes. Hello, Dosa. Good to see you again.
So, in the end, Dosa's gonna save the forest. I love that.
It's such a weird phrase, but I'm like, I'm cool with it.
That's awesome. Right? That's what we're going with.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about Serena. Our sexy, sexy Serena. Whoa.
Can we talk about her right now? Holy smokes. I wanted more of her, but I also wanted more from her character as well.
Yes. I love that she's a journalist who believes in magic. Mm-hmm. I love that idea. I remember her from Greek. I don't know if anyone watched that show.
That's where she's from. I thought she looked so recognizable, and I couldn't remember.
I was like, she's a girl from Greek.
Nice.
So cute. This relationship with Stone, I could not handle the music.
Yeah, it was really weird.
So here's the thing about this episode is the camp song is amazing.
Oh my God, I wanted to play it over and over and over in my head.
And I believe Dean Devlin tweeted out that it was written for the show.
Oh, that's nice.
By their music person.
Music producer, the head of music.
Orchestrator, composer. Maybe? I don't know music words.
Music words.
But so that I was a big fan of this lovey-dovey music that played every time. Awful. I could not stand it.
It felt like I was watching a very deconstructed Disney movie where like the music swells and you're like, no.
I was like, did this all of a sudden become a soap opera? Or
okay, sorry.
Or is there like magic happening that like we're supposed to? Yeah, you know what I mean. Like, is it a love spell or is are
that's why I thought that there was more to her and realized it's just because it's like, oh, love. But I also was like, I was a little. See, this is where I get nitpicky now.
Go for it.
It's because I like
give it to me.
I love her. She's awesome, and I want to see more of her. Mm-hmm. I was upset when she wasn't a art history nerd. And when she was like, no, I'm actually a journalist, I was like, oh, I still like that, but I'm also really sad because I thought you guys were going to be perfect for each other in that way. And I was like really excited that you guys are going to both nerd out about history and poems and crap.
But they still...
No, they still bonded. Yeah. Like, that's still a thing. I just was like...
I get it. I totally get it. That would have been really adorable to see. I would have loved it if he was like, do you know this thing?
Yeah, and then she would have gone, and then it would be back and forth, and I was like, but like, no.
I really liked this coupling. I thought it was really cute. I thought it was very interesting that once the team realized that he was gone and something was wrong...
They just invited her. I thought she was going to be part of the library all of a sudden. I was like, oh, so is she going to be like a new guardian? Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, like, because she was like, oh, we're going. And she just went with it, which, like, I get it. She's a journalist who believes in magic. Cool. But for them...
That's pretty risky.
Yeah, like she's a journalist who believes in magic.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know because we didn't get to see that conversation if it happened or not. But I thought maybe because Jenkins was out, that maybe she would be like the new Jenkins, hang out in the library and help out. I guess I don't know. Not the new one, but like an assistant. And I thought that'd be kind of cool.
Well, so we get this moment where Stone is sucked into the tree and he's having this conversation with Baird. We had two. That was the second, like heart to heart.
I was tearing up a little bit.
You know, I really like the idea that Baird wouldn't deal with her issues and that this is how she's kind of forced to.
Yeah, and I love that it's Stone that's doing it because of the fact that he's kind of like the heart and the brawn in our group. That he's like, I understand what you're like. I understand what's happening. I want to help you, but you also need to, like, let go. And I'm like, I just want a big hug from you, sir. Just keep...
Tree hugger.
Yeah, maybe. I would definitely become a tree hugger then. That sounded weird.
It did. So then he finally is the one who can communicate for the trees. He is the Lorax.
Oh, my God. He speaks for the trees. Yes, he does. Oh, I would have loved him in that movie more than Danny DeVito.
And then they give the shiny gold glittery pine
cone. I was like, did someone go to Michael's and steal their holiday pine cones?
They were what is it going to be? Was it, take this pine cone, spray it with gold, throw glitter at it.
Yeah, just make it look like hella gaudy. It's okay.
They spent too much money on making him a tree.
Yeah, so they're like, glitter. Here, take it.
And she was like, we'll protect it.
This could have been totally different. It could have made it like a golden egg or something. I don't know.
It could have been like a tiny
seed.
Anyway.
Something.
Anyway. But then all of the tree captives are released from the last 100 years.
I was worried. What are we going to do with these people? They haven't been out in the world for like hundreds of years.
So they just left them there and let Joseph deal with it, obviously.
Like, do you put them in cages? Do you give them new identities? Do you wash their brains?
Are they in the cages under the library now?
Can you imagine? They're just like, well, I guess we're here now. We were in captivity in a tree, and now we're in captivity in this dungeon.
I just don't understand. Like, if I were a tree, and I were looking for someone to speak for me, and I took one in, and he couldn't, I'd spit him out.
Yeah, like, don't keep them.
Nope, this isn't right. Nope, this isn't right. You know what I mean?
It's like bad chicken. Just throw it out.
Spit that gum out.
Yeah. Get that out of your mouth.
Lord. But nope, they all came out at once, which was nice.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed this episode. It was super silly.
I loved it.
And then at the end, he takes her to the library. Stone takes Serena to the library.
And I was like, okay, is this a good idea? I mean, and I knew as soon as she saw the library or found out that it was the library, she was like, I want to tell people. And I was like, yeah. This is where we're going, and then Stone has to tell her not to, and also that hug was really awkward at the end.
Yeah, no, at the end, I was like, you're not at that place yet.
Yeah, I'm like, you just met her.
You're like behind her and wrapping your arms around her while she's looking at a library. This is weird.
Yeah, this is really weird.
So I hope that next episode at least starts with like a good thing we wiped her memory.
I thought that's what they were going to do.
Yeah, like I showed you this because I didn't want you to think you're crazy, but now we have to wipe your memory.
Yeah.
And she was like, I understand. That's what I would have thought.
That's where I thought it was going. And then instead it was just like, then we will just all, you know, cease to exist, kind of, or everyone's going to know that we're here. And she's just like, oh, okay. And I was like, that is not a good enough reason. You can't trust people.
Yeah. Also, she's a journalist.
Yeah. No.
To be fair, everyone thinks she's crazy.
I mean, true. But at the same time, she will put more effort into it now, right, because of the fact that she actually knows it exists. Or she might not stay away.
Or she's going to find Lucy. Lucy? Lila? Yeah,
I think it's Lucy, isn't it? Rose. You know, that girl.
You all know who we're talking about. They're going to fight each other, and they're going to start a thing together. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
I support that.
I still want a spinoff of all the ladies who are just like, what do we do now? We believe in magic.
The ladies of the lake?
Yes, I still want them to come back.
Yeah.
I need it.
There are a lot of ladies that have left that we kind of miss.
I know. I want them to bring them back.
All right. I think we should head into predictions, yes, then.
I think that's a good idea. Good idea. Let's hit it.
And now, whew, you're after Buzz TV.
Predictions.
Okay, so, other than all of our predictions from the last three episodes, we also have a promo for next week. Cassandra leaves for a bit. She goes to a town that has been accident-free for 10,000, I can't read numbers, 10,000 days. And then the town.
Wow, that's very specific.
What?
No, like the fact that it's 10,000 days instead, yes, of like years, like, or something.
Yep, I think that's what the promo said.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't see it.
And then the town, she goes, is there anything that's just appeared? And they went, you? Also, there's a fairy, maybe?
Yeah. Is it our fairy?
I hope so.
Oh, I hope it's our fairy.
I would love it if it was Ariel. So my prediction from earlier that I was holding on to is that now that Jenkins has released his immortality,
I'm still upset about that.
He will tether to the library.
Problem solved. Oh, much easier. Oh, that's great.
Thank you.
Oh, that's real great.
That's my prediction.
Yeah, because the library would just crumble without him.
Yeah.
Yeah. We need him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. I think that's a great idea. I didn't even think about that. I thought that he was going to tether with somebody else. I just didn't know who else it was going to be. But the library makes more sense.
Right, because then he'll be immortal again.
Yeah.
And he'll be in the library.
Yep. The place that he calls home.
What other predictions did you have that I made you hold?
Crap. I don't remember now because it's been so long.
You should have taken notes.
I know. Dang it. What was it? I think it was about the first episode, right? Nope. Never mind. So I definitely think Nicole's coming back. I thought that she was going to come back and she was just going to give Jenkins back the immortality and just be like, I can't do this anymore. Like, not in a bad way, but the fact that she's just like,
I can't continue living.
Yeah, she's like, I've tried. You gave me a second chance, and I realize that I've already done everything I wanted to do. There's really nothing I have now that the, you know, Rasputin's gone, mm-hmm, and everything. Like, I'm good. So you should take this back. I really appreciate it, but I take this back. I'm still trying to figure out what other dark secrets that the library is trying to hold. But I can't pinpoint right now what it is because there's so much. So I'm hoping that we learn more, that one of the librarians will find the Book of Librarians and read through it again and maybe find something else, because the fact that there are three different minds, that I feel like if they come together and read through it, they might find some more stuff that is able to bring them into a better librarian, if that makes sense.
I really like that now we have the, we've established that there is this Book of Librarians.
Yeah.
I think it'd be really interesting for them to read it. Mm-hmm. And Darrington said, like, he was tempted to read his own fate.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it'd be very interesting for them to read what it says about them so far. Then it might help them establish who should be the librarian or whatever.
Do you think they should all read it or someone specific for, like, one of those stories?
I think they should all read it.
Yeah, I think they should all read it.
I like the idea of them all. I like they work together. Mm-hmm. They are one.
Yes, no, I understand. And I agree with that. I was just, like, curious, since we've been kind of having one-off episodes here and there, mostly of Ezekiel.
Well, I mean, next episode looks like it's a one-off Cassandra.
Yeah, which is fine, because this is what I wanted. I wanted to know more about Ezekiel, which I love that he's adopted and, like, that, all that kind of stuff. There's a lot of episodes. But, yeah, so I like that, and I'm hoping that we get a little more tidbits of that, but I'm also very interested to see how Baird is going to deal with the fact that he's not here. I'm assuming that even though he said he was retired, I was thinking that he was going to go find a specific artifact that maybe he's always wanted to find or something of that nature. Mm-hmm. But I also think he got captured while out, and that's why he didn't come back. I think someone mentioned that in the chat, and it reminded me. I'm like, oh, yes, I had a prediction about that.
I like the idea that maybe he got captured. I think it would be interesting if he was, like, trying to be retired and then found a thing and was like, well, now I have to do a mystery.
Yeah, because he's a librarian. Yeah. It's going to be hard for him to just kind of, I mean, again, I don't know how hard this hit him to retire like that. And to, like, if some magic thing happens, he's like, nope, I'm retired. And I want to see that episode. Yeah, I'm like, nope.
There's no way he's going to ignore it.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? He will try, and then he goes, oh, okay, I have to do it.
I really like we had during the the heart to hearts with Stone and Baird, you know, she talked about how she always takes him back. Always put up with it.
Yeah.
And I want to see her being like, oh no, I'm done.
Yeah. I want to see that. And I think we kind of had that. I can't remember what season that was, but we kind of had that where she was just like, I don't know what to do anymore, you know, but I want to see that like final straw of like, I'm tired of doing this for you. If you're not going to be here for me to be your guardian, then what is the point? Mm-hmm. I have my other librarians to deal with.
Yeah.
I can't be chasing you all the time.
Teresa in the chat points out that the twins were equal in everything and that our librarians are not. And so they have different fields, which means they will not destroy the library.
Yeah, I don't think they will.
But I think what might be really interesting, because the three of them are one and Flynn is another.
You think they're going to kick Flynn out?
I think it's Flynn versus the three of them rather than all four of them starting a fight.
Oh, that would be interesting. Well, I've always wanted, I know, I think like when I first started watching the show, I was like, oh man, it's gonna be weird seeing them battle it out. And I remember Tar going, what? I was like, well, it just feels like it's a lot of headbutting between Flynn, who's already been a librarian for some time, with these three new librarians who are more modern in their own way of thinking. And we got that a lot in the other seasons of how they think. So.
Right. And then we eventually got them together, which is why I feel silly that we're at season four going, there can only be one.
I was like, wow, we're really late on that. But I think it's also a good transition if, you know, he decides to move on. You know, but I mean, I don't know. I don't think it's going to happen.
It also ties into the, as I was saying earlier, the whole, do we trust the library?
And I want to have that continue, because right now I feel like we still have all these dark secrets about the library, but it's not enough to convince me that it's like detrimental right now. It's just kind of like, oh, you know, like everything has secrets. It's history. We all know about that kind of crap.
I just think that it would be more interesting for it to be a question of, the library before said there can only be one, and now it says there can be four.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, do four. We just, whatever, do we just, like, go along with it? And I think that's much more interesting than them fighting for who's going to be.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it doesn't have to be a fight. I want to see the structure of it and how the library is supposed to handle it and what the reasoning is of why we picked these three.
Right.
And, I mean, we know the reasoning, but I mean a little bit more structured of the reasoning of why we have these three and why we think that this is a better option to stick with the three instead of the four.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yes.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see where this show goes.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
We have so many more episodes to go.
I know. Is it just me? Confirm or deny, are there 12 episodes this season when we usually have 10?
I don't know. I thought we had more this season, but I can't remember.
According to Wikipedia, we have 12.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. We usually have 10. Before we go, I want to take a minute real quick. Last episode, I said some things, and I want to take a minute. And I sometimes can't get my words out properly and may have stuck my foot in my mouth. But I still stand behind parts of what I said. So last week, I talked a little bit about the scene where Ezekiel has the lipstick on, and I said that it was a transphobic issue, and it is not a transphobic issue, but I stand behind the statement that we should not be having moments where we shame people of any gender for wearing makeup. That's where I stand.
Yeah. We talked about this a little bit before the show and how I'm pretty much on the same boat as you, where it felt a little hard-hitting that we got to see, you know, Stone being kind of like, oh my god, and then we immediately have Ezekiel being, you know, upset that he was he had lipstick on. So, I mean, I would have liked them to, not handle it, but the fact that they could have put in, like, an extra comment where I was like, oh, it's just not my shade. Like, I don't care if everybody else does it, it's just not for me.
Right. I think that it was just It just wasn't handled right.
Yeah, I agree with you on that.
And that was just me clarifying my comments.
Well, I think you're awesome, so.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Billie Jean Girl in the chat agrees. The lipstick color was just not a shade.
It wasn't a shade. It was a little bit too blue for your beautiful brown skin.
Somebody tweeted real nice, a great picture of Ezekiel with the lipstick next to Joey from Friends with the Icky Bomb lipstick.
Yes, that was what I thought of. Yes. Icky Bomb.
Yeah.
Oh,
awesome. Thank you all so much for joining us. Please subscribe on iTunes. Subscribe here on YouTube on the new channel, the AfterBuzz Sci-Fi Fantasy and Superheroes.
Yeah, get it, girl.
I'm remembering it.
Yeah.
But also tweet at us your thoughts. And super important, if you are a big Star Wars fan, check out my awesome Star Wars Princess Leia cape from her universe.
Do it.
It is on my Instagram. Thank you, Her Universe, for sending me that. It is beautiful. At Yeltygiel, YaelTygiel. And Alexis Torres, where can everyone find you?
You guys can find me all over social media at atorres890. That's A-T-O-R-R-E-S 890. I'm trying to revamp my YouTube page. There's going to be some pretty cool stuff happening this year, so definitely check that out. That's at youtube.com/PS890. And this is pretty much the only after show I've got going on right now besides Lethal Weapon, so definitely check that out. We're having a giveaway. If you want to get cool autographed photos of the cast of Lethal Weapon, you should go ahead and check out the last two videos that we did, or last two after shows, for the rules of that. That's pretty much it.
Bye! Bye, guys!
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.